Pirkei Eliezer, Perek Dalet. So this Perek is going to speak about astrology, astronomy, different calculations, different things about mazalos and the different influences that the planets and or zodiacal constellations have on the world to some extent. And it's a complicated Perek. Just 2 points to speak out over here. The Marzu writes in the beginning of the parak that he doesn't understand this parak and the next parak at all. He wasn't able to understand it, so he said that he asked his a big Talmud Chacham named Rav Binyamin of Haradna. He asked Rav Binyamin of Haradna to write a commentary on it. So the Marzu on this parak and the next parak is not really from the Marzu himself, from Zev Wolf Eichenhorn himself. It's really from this Rav Binyamin of Haradna, who was famous because he had a famous son named Moshe Yehuda Leib, also known as the Maril Tiskin. So this is the Pirush of the Marzu on this parak comes from the father of the Maril Tiskin. That's one point. The other point is the Radal has an introduction to the parak, and the Radal brings from a Ksav Yad from the Ramchal that we're gonna see things over here that may or may not be congruent with the physical reality of astronomy and how things work in astrological terms or whatever. May or may not be the way science perceives different things. So he says a lot of the things that we're talking about over here are not mamish to be taken at face value, but they're alluding to more Kabbalistic, deeper ideas. So we'll have to keep that idea in mind when we encounter certain difficulties and try to make everything work out together. Another point the Radal makes is that the Kuzri in Maimer Dalid, Simen Tezvav, and in Maimer Gimel, Simen Lamed Gimel, he quotes different things, or he mentions these passages of Pirkei Eliezer, and says that, you know, Pirkei Eliezer talks about the measurements of the Earth and different planets, I mean the measurements, like how big the Earth is and the other planets are, and how the other planets look, and different things about how the planets interplay with the constellations, and different things about their orbit and all kinds of calculations. The truth is that in our Pirkei Eliezer, it doesn't go into that detail that he talks about, that the Radal says that the Kuzri talks about, that the Kuzri says that the Pirkei Eliezer talks about. So the truth is that, as the Radal says, that it's obvious that there's different parts of this discussion which are missing from our Pirkei Eliezer, and you know that's we're gonna feel that there's like pieces missing, and Be'ezer Hashem we'll discuss whatever we have, but this is just a small part apparently of something bigger. Yeah, we're at the beginning of Perek. I'm sorry, did I say Perek Dalet? I meant to say Perek Vav. Yeah, Perek Vav. Why did I say? I think I said Perek Dalet in the beginning.
Yeah.
But we're Perek Vav. I said Perek Dalet?
Well, 2 weeks ago you said that we'll do Perek Dalet.
No,
we didn't do it.
Yeah, we did Perek Dalet then.
Oh.
Now we're doing Perek Vav. I don't know. When I started just now, I said Perek Vav. I said Perek Dalet, but I meant to say we're doing Perek Vav. Okay. Let's start the Perek. And again, the first Prakim of Pirkei Eliezer. We've been a little bit out of it for a while, but the first Prakim and Pirkei Eliezer are talking about the creation of the world. So Perek Vav is discussing the fourth day of creation. Says the Medrash, Bervi, on the fourth day of creation, Chiber Shnei Ma'ores HaGadolim. Hashem was Mechaber, the word Chiber usually means connected. He connected the two great luminaries, Chiber. The Radal says that if you want to go with the word Chiber, so we're going to say that it's like a lashon of chaver, friend. He made the two luminaries, the two great luminaries, as friends. We'll see exactly what that means, that they were equal. Then it means that he made them as friends. But the Radal himself brings from the Gra that it's a mistake. It's not supposed to say chiber, it's supposed to say bara. So bara, barvi, on the fourth day of creation, bara shnei ma'arei shagadolam. Hashem created, bara, the two great luminaries. Loi ze gadol mize, v'loi ze gadol mize. this one wasn't bigger or greater than this one, and this one wasn't bigger or greater than this one, meaning the two great luminaries were equal. B'shavin, they were equal, b'govhan, in their height, meaning their perceived distance between the earth and them, it looked like it was equidistant. Uvataran, and in their form, meaning it means to say that this, both the sun and the moon were both circular, they were both complete circles. Uvairan, and in their light, meaning originally the sun and the moon gave off the exact same amount of light. And as the Marzu, which was really from Binyamin Diskin, says that originally the sun and the moon were giving off their own light. The way it works now is that the moon's light is really just a reflection off of the sun, but originally the moon had its own light that it was giving off. Shinema, it says in the Pasuk, Vayas Elikim and Shnei Hamayois HaGadalim. Hashem made the two great luminaries. And it groups them together, saying the two great luminaries. And we find in other places in Chazal, when it says like Shnei HaSeirim, the two goats that you bring on Yom Kippur, one goes to Azazel and one goes to Hashem. So the Pasuk uses the phrase Shnei HaSeirim, two Seirim. And Chazal tell us that that means that the two goats have to be exactly the same. They have to be the same height, they have to look the same, etc. So because they're grouped in the Pasuk as the Shnei HaSeirim. So in the same vein, the Medrash over here is saying that Shnei HaMa'ayreis, the two luminaries, since the Pasuk groups the sun and the moon together, that tells you that they were originally equal. Fine. Says the Medrash, what happened? Nichnas Tacharus Beinehem. A competition came between them. Ze'omer l'ze ani gadol mimcha, ve'ze'omer l'ze ani gadol mimcha. There was a competition between them. One said to the other, I'm bigger or greater than you. And the other one said to the other one, no, I'm bigger and greater than you. The Radal explains what are the sides? What are their arguments? So the Radal says, like, the sun was saying, well, I was created before you. The sun was created before the moon. We're going to probably see it in the next paragraph, Berak Zayin, that the sun was created before the moon. The sun is used for the light of the daytime, and the things that people do in the daytime are the more important things vis-a-vis the things that they do at night. So day is more important than night, or we say that in terms of ritual sacrifices, the day is more important than the night. What does the Pasuk say? First you do the morning one, and then you do the afternoon, evening one, carbon. Or like I added in the Sudas of Shabbos, so he said that the Suda of the day of Shabbos is supposed to be like a more special Suda than the Suda of the night of Shabbos. So like the day is supposed to be more important. On the other hand, by the night, by the Levana, so Levana would say, no, I have precedence because in terms of the creation of the world, it's the Erev Vahi Biker. So the night or the darkness comes before the day. Even though the sun was created before the moon, but darkness preceded the light. So the moon says, I'm more important. And the moon says that because the moon goes around the earth faster than the sun, let's call it, goes around the earth, right? Then therefore the moon is more of a zariz, it's more zealous, it's more excited in doing the ratzon of Hashem, the will of God. So then the moon is more chashuv than the sun. So it is like the argument that the sun and the moon were arguing with each other, who's more important? What did Hashem do? Hashem made one bigger and made one smaller. Shinema, as the Pasuk says, the great luminary to rule over the day, and the smaller luminary to reign during the night, and also the stars which also rule during the night. Right? So Hashem's reaction is, he says, okay, you guys are arguing, we'll make one bigger, one smaller, and then there's no fight anymore. Yeah? Okay, we'll see exactly a little bit more about the ramifications of this argument in Perek Nun Aleph, Be'ezer Hashem, in a few weeks. We'll get to Perek Nun Aleph. But that's more or less what happens over here in the Medrash. The big one, Hashem makes one of them big, meaning the sun becomes big and the moon becomes small. There's a Gemara in Maseches Chulin, Samech Amud Beis, where the Gemara brings down this story in a slightly different way. In the way the Gemara says it, what happened is that the moon complained to Hashem and said, how could you have two equal partners, let's say? How could you have ein shnei melachim misham shem b'tagar achad? You can't have two kings using the same crown. So how could you, and you, how, why did you, Hashem, create the sun and the moon to be equal? It can't be that we should be equal. One of us has to be more important than the other. And then the Gemara says that Hashem said to the moon, okay, so make yourself smaller, and then, you know, that'll fix the problem. That's the way the Gemara says it. Now, our Medrash differs from the Gemara in two ways. In our Medrash, it doesn't say that the moon complained to the sun. It just says that they were arguing who's better. They were both, if according to our Medrash, it sounds like they were both equally at fault, so to speak. Another point is that in the Gemara, all Hashem did was He said, okay, you make yourself small. He said to the moon, you make yourself smaller. But in our Medrash, it says two things. It says Hashem made the sun bigger, and He made the moon smaller. Well, it's like, you have to sort of, the way Rabbi Leomi is, his approach to this idea is that he puts the two together. And so, what happened was, as our Medrash says, there was a fight between them. Fine, there was a fight. And at the fight, there was no one at fault, because they were both equally arguing. They're both equal parties, takes two to fight, right? And then the moon complained to Hashem, and then the moon got punished because it was like it was being mekatrig against the sun, and because the moon did that, it got punished. Now, why did it have to be that the Gemara says that Hashem just said to the moon, make yourself smaller? Our Medrash says that Hashem made the sun bigger and the moon smaller. Why did Hashem have to make the sun bigger? Just make the moon smaller, and then, you know, the sun is already going to be bigger than it, so then it already solves the issue. So why did Hashem have to make the sun bigger and then also make the moon smaller? Or Hashem could have just made the sun bigger, right? And then the moon will you know, mimela be smaller already.
Did you say that gadol and katon don't mean larger and smaller? They mean more important and not as important? Like, not as meaning, as you said before, yom is like a more important. More,
okay, you could say that.
And the sun gives life and it gives light in it. The moon,
that's
the katan, it doesn't.
Okay, that is definitely true, but the Medrash does say that higdil es echad v'hikten es ha'echad. There, it would seem to be talking about making it bigger or smaller. You're right that in the end, when it says that one is Mara Gadol and one is Mara Katan, it could mean that one's more important. The Mara Gadol is more important, the Mara Katan is less important. But when the Medrash talks about making them bigger and smaller, the Chara, that means literally making them bigger and smaller. So the Marzu asks this question. The Marzu B'Shem of Binyamin Tiskin asks this question. And basically what he says is that what happened was that Hashem was going to give a punishment to the moon because the moon was complaining. So it makes the moon smaller. But the problem is that the rest of creation, why should the rest of creation have to suffer because the moon did something wrong, so now we're going to lose light in the world? So in order to make up for the light lost by making the moon smaller, Hashem made the sun bigger. That's the part that the Marzu says. And then in the end, as we said before, that originally the sun, the moon had its own light, and Hashem took away its own light, and now it's only a reflection of the sun. We said earlier that the moon was equal originally to the sun in terms of its form. They were both round circles, right? But now, afterwards, the moon is only going to be a completely round circle, you know, once a month when it's a full moon. The rest of the time, it's going to be smaller than a circle. It's going to be a sliver. And then later it build up and wax and wane, but it's not always going to be the same shape as the sun. That's one of the other punishments of the moon. Fine. Any questions? Not everyone at once. Okay. Says the Medrash. Kol ha-kechavim mishorsim l'shiva kechavim shel shois. All the stars serve the seven stars of the hours. Okay, what does the word koichav mean? What does the word koichav mean? The word koichav is colloquially used to mean star, but there's a concept in Chazal called the Shiva Koichve Leches. The seven, let's call them mobile stars, the seven moving stars. So what are the seven moving stars? So the seven moving stars are what we call in English planets. The seven moving planets. or the seven planets that are visible to the naked eye. Or the, well, not necessarily just planets. But as I wrote in chart 1, which is on page 1 over here. Chart 1. So we have the seven planets are like this. The Sun, the Moon, right? Mars, Mercury, Jupiter, Venus, and Saturn. Those are the seven. It's the Sun and the Moon plus the five visible planets, really. That's what it is. You know, the other planets that are farther away, Pluto, Uranus, Neptune, right? Those are, they're not visible to the naked eye. I think maybe sometimes Neptune is. I don't know.
I saw Jupiter through a telescope once.
So Jupiter is supposed to be visible to the naked eye. I don't know exactly how often, but so those are the seven what we call the Shiva Kech Veleches, the seven mobile stars or planets or whatever. I call them the astral forces. The word astral and the word star itself really come from the Babylonian goddess of love named Istar or Ishtar, which is the Babylonian version of the Canaanite of Avodah Zarah of Ashtaris. So that's an interesting point. The word star is the word itself means Avodah Zarah. Esther. The name Esther, the Gemara says that Esther is Al Shem Istar. She's named after Istar. After that, whatever exactly that means, but the point is the name Esther is related to the word star.
I'm from Hollywood.
You're from Hollywood.
Right? I know.
You know about stars.
Worship.
People worship stars. These people. Yeah, that's right.
Worship this stuff.
Because no, the Gemara says that the Tehillim, the Paragon Tehillim, was it Tehillim Yud Ches, maybe? I don't know if you know what it is. I forgot which parak in Tehillim. Lamnatzeach ala yelas hashachar, the morning star. The morning star is Venus.
It's not Yuches.
What? It's not Yuches. No. Which one is it? What, you remember?
I don't know, but Yuches I know. Okay. That parak I remember. It talks about the words of David and Melchizedek. Successful.
Whatever it is, lamnatzeach ala yelas hashachar, the Gemara ascribes to Esther, and ayelas hashachar means the morning star. What's the morning star? So it's also known as Venus,
which is the brightest star in the sky.
Which. Yeah, cause, and it's also, it's their earliest in the morning.
There's one at night also.
And Venus, in let's say, in idolatrous mythological stories, Venus is also known, which is the Roman name. In Greek, it's known as Aphrodite. And in Babylonian, it's known as Ishtar. It's like all of it comes together in a big circle. But the point is, we have these seven Shiva Kaich Veleches. So what are their Hebrew names? Says the Medrash, Ushman Kalash Tzamchan. That's Rosh Tevis. Kalash Tzamchan is Rosh Tevis. It's an acronym for the seven astral forces. What are they? Koichav, which literally means star, which is Mercury. Levana, which is the moon. Shabsai, which is Saturn. Tzedek, which is Jupiter. Madim, which is Mars. Chama, which is the sun. And Noiga, which is the Venus. Also, it's sometimes known as Lucifer, whatever. But,
so I don't know, really? Because, I mean...
Yeah, Hillel Bar Shachar is also called the morning star.
Hillel
Bar Shachar. It's a pasuk.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm not sure exactly how the two things work together, but I guess it's like different aspects of it or something like that. The Radal has an interesting idea over here. We said, right, the first one is called Koichav. Right? What's Koichav? So Koichav literally means star. But we said it's also the name of one of the planets, which is like the name of Mercury. Right? Why is it called Koichav? So the Radal says that Mercury is called the first planet because, as we're going to see, that these planets have sort of hashpa, according to... let's back up. There's something called astronomy and there's something called astrology. Astronomy is, let's say, astronomy. Astro means mean planet or stars, whatever. Astro, again, being derived from that word Ashtaris, the name of the Avodah Zarah. Astronomy, nami means names. So astronomy means like the names of like things that you see in the sky, right? That's like a scientific. It's let's say modern scientific study. As opposed to what's called astrology, which is considered unscientific. Astrology means astro, again, the stars or planets. Logi means to read them, to read the stars and the planets. What do you mean read them? So there's a chokhmah that a person could look at the stars and the planets and be able to see things in the future. It's known as atstagninus in Lashon HaKodesh. Right? Hashem told Avram Avinu, same atstagninus shulcha. Forget about your atstagninus, your astrology. Now, most Rishayim agree that there is truth to some degree. Astrology is a true chokhmah. It is a true form of wisdom. The Gemara talks about a person, the Gemara Shabbos talks about, you know, let's say a person who's born under the influence of Noiga, which is Venus, so he has a certain inclination towards being, towards immorality. A person who's born under the influence of Tzedek has a personal inclination towards, you know, going for justice. So the Gemara already talks about this. There are Rishonim that completely reject this whole concept. The Rambam, the Ibn Ezra, other Rishonim as well. But the Rambam and the Ibn Ezra are the main ones that reject this whole thing. But the mainstream Rishonim, the Ramban, the Ran, all the Mekubal, whatever, Rav Sadia, they all seem to hold of the idea of astrology. So there's astrology, which is the spooky stuff, and astronomy, which is more like the scientific type analysis. Right? So like each of these seven things we're going to see in the Medrash, each of these seven astral forces has a koyach for a certain day of the week. We'll see exactly how that works out. But the first one that our Medrash mentioned is koyachav. Koyachav is the first one that we talked about. Right? Really, I'm saying this out of order, but whatever. Okay. Koyachav is the first one that we talked about, and koyachav is really going to be the first one in the series, cycle. Koyachav is the first. If you look at chart 3, right, so Sunday night, hour 1, is the influence of koyachav. So koyachav is like the first one, Maitzei Shabbos, the beginning of the first day of creation, is Maitzei Shabbos, hour 1, Sunday, meaning Sunday night. Hour 1, when I say Sunday night, I mean the night before Sunday. I mean Lil Yomish, right now, right? So the first hour is going to be Koychav. So that's why Koychav is mentioned first. And then subsequently, each one goes according to the order that we have in the Medrash. Right? But if you start from Wednesday, which is when the sun and the moon and the Koychavim were created, if you start from Wednesday, so Koychav is going to be the sixth one. It's going to be 6 out of 7. Right, starting from Shabsai, so Shabsai, Tzedek, Madim, Chama, Noiga, Koychav, so Koychav is number 6. And the Radal says that number 6 in Kabbalah always represents the idea of Yisoid. We've spoken in the past about Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes. Chesed is a focus on giving, Gvur is a focus on holding back, and Tiferes is a blend between the two. And then there's Netzach Hoid Yisoid, which is the same thing on a different plane. Netzach Hoid Yisoid is Chesed Gvur Tiferes on a different level. So Yisoid in many places refers to Yosef HaTzadik. And Yosef HaTzadik saw in his dream that all Hashemesh ve'yareach v'achad asar koychavim mishtachavim li. The sun, the moon, and the stars, they all bow down to me. Right? And Yosef is sixth. Yosef is always referred to as the sixth one. He's connected to this Midah of Yisoid, which is the sixth of the spheres. Yosef is the sixth one. And like, for example, the Ushpizin, according to Nusach Sfard, you have Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Moshe Aaron, Yosef David. Right? Yosef is number 6. Because it's Al-Pi Kabbal, Yosef is number 6. So the reason why Koychav means star, but it also is a name of one of the stars itself, is because Koychav is the main one. Because it's the first one, even though in a different context it's the sixth one, it's the first one starting from Mitzvah Shabbos, it's the sixth one from from what's it called? From Wednesday, so the focus is on Kaicha. That's what the Radal says. You have to know exactly how to understand it, but that's basically what the Radal says. So again, let's see. I prematurely jumped to the Radal, but let's get pshat in what the Medrash is saying again. Yeah, Koychav. Each of these seven astral forces rules for an hour. Yeah, and if you look at we're looking right now at chart 3, starting from Koychav. So you have Koychav, Levana, Shabbos, Etzedek, Madim, Chama, Noiga. Right? 7 hours. And then you go down, and then it starts again. The eighth hour starts again from Kaichav, Levana, Shabbos, Etzedek, Madim, Chama, etc. Right? The whole week is just going to be a cycle of these seven straight in order. Right? So the night of Sunday, meaning Maitse Shabbos, starts off with Kaichav, right? And cycles through and ends with Madim. Sunday day begins with Chama. Right, number day, meaning hour 13 of Sunday, is Chama, the sun. That's why it's called Sunday, because the sun rules over the first hour of the day of Sunday. If you look at Monday, it's the same thing. Monday has Levana, is hour 13 of Monday is Levana. Tuesday, in some languages, Tuesday is not known as Tuesday, but is known as something else, which alludes to the planet Mars, right? Same thing. Wednesday, Koychav is Mercury. What do they call Wednesday in Spanish? Like Marculus or something like that, which is Mercury.
No, yeah, I can't say it, but it's close.
What?
Miércoles.
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 Right? Thursday, etc. Right? So that's how these things work. Let's look a little bit more in the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, these seven astral forces, the seven planets, have a rule over the 7 days of the week. Right? The first day of the week is Koychav Chama. Meaning, the first hour of the night of the first day, Maitre Shabbos, is Koychav, Mercury, and then the first hour of the day of Sunday is Chama, the sun. Yom Sheini, Tzedek, Levana. The first hour of the night of Yom Sheini is Tzedek, and the first hour of the day of Yom Sheini is Levana. Yom Shlishi, Noiga, Madim. The first hour of Tuesday, of the night of Tuesday is Noiga, and the day of Tuesday is Madim. Yom Revi, Shabsai, Koychav, Wednesday. Right? The night of Wednesday is Shabsai, and the day of Wednesday is Koychav, Yom Chamishi, Chama, Tzedek, same thing. Yom Chamishi, the night of Thursday is, the night before Thursday is sun, the sun, and then the day of Thursday is Tzedek, Yom Shishi, Levana, Noiga. Friday is, the night before Friday is the moon, the first hour, and then the night, the first hour of the day of Friday is Noiga, Yom Shvi'i, Shabbos, Madim, Mars is the Koyach of the first hour of the first hour of the night of Shabbos, and Shabbai is the koyach of the first hour of the day of Shabbos. Right? There's a minhag, I think some Chabad people follow this minhag, that they don't make Kiddush on Friday night, the first hour of Shabbos, because it's under the influence of the mazel of Madim.
It's only you think in the winter time.
It's only in the gay in the winter time?
No, because it's between, let's say, here in Israel, 5:30 and 6:30, we don't make Kiddush.
5:40. Right.
5:40 and 6:40. Okay.
Yeah.
In America, 6 and 7.
In New York, it's 6 and 7. It all depends where in the time zone you're at.
Right.
So a particular mazel.
Yeah. So we said that the first hour of Shabbos night is Madim. That's where it's coming from. It's the Mogen Avraham that talks about it.
In summertime, you don't have the problem because Marv is always after 7 or 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, but I mean the truth is that it really shouldn't have to do with the clock hours. It should really have to do with Shal Zmanis. So it should really be a problem every week.
Why is it?
What?
Why would it be a problem every week?
Because we're not
always going to make Kiddush at night. If you
Right, you're always making Kiddush at night, right? Yeah. So from 6:30 to 7:30 is in the summer is the middle of the day. It's towards the end of the day.
No, it doesn't have to do with the light or not. It has to do with that particular. It's like every hour has a mazel, so it doesn't change if there's light or dark.
No, it does.
Yeah.
That's this whole thing over here. The mazalos are, you know, there's 12 mazalos in the night and then 12 mazalos in the day.
Yeah. So how does it work evenly in the winter and the summer? There's a longer day or a longer night?
Yeah, longer halachic hour.
Longer halachic hour. So there's money.
So that would affect the mazalos?
Yeah.
So you're asking a good question.
So the definition of the first hour of the night is always going to be the first... It's always going to start with whenever the night begins, and it's going to be an hour.
So we have a problem then.
So I don't know exactly how it works out.
I know in Chabad we don't go by halachic hours. We go by...
Right, no, I understand that. The people that are makbid on this, that's what they do. But I don't understand why that is. But I said the Aruch HaShulchan, he brings down... This is Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says this halacha. Not to make Kiddush on the first hour of Shabbos because of Madim. The Aruch HaShulchan disagrees with it. He said, no, we say Ein Mazel Yisrael. That astrology doesn't affect Jews. Like I said before, that Hashem told Avraham Avinu, "Same as Tagninus Shulchan." So, like, astrology doesn't affect Jews, so it's not a problem for us. That's what our Aruch HaShulchan says. Okay, whether that's true exactly, to what extent it's true, whatever, it's a whole discussion. I can give a whole share about the effect of astrology on Jews, but that's not the topic of discussion. Really.
What is the problem with doing it during March?
No, because what
is the problem with doing it during this specific
of Madim
Mazel?
I don't know exactly what.
Pharaoh saw in astrology. Pharaoh, that I've seen midrashim that say that Pharaoh and his family were experts in astrology. They saw that the Redeemer of the Jews would get into trouble over water, which is why did they choose to throw the babies into the Red Sea?
Right.
Because they knew that and they were correct, because Moshe Rabbeinu did get in trouble over water, and then. When he lifted the decree when Moshe was rescued, but he didn't know, he couldn't tell whether the Redeemer would be a Egyptian or a Jew. It turns out he was right with his astrology, because Moshe was both an Egyptian and a Jew, because he was Jewish, of course, but he was raised in Pharaoh's house, so he's like an Egyptian. So Pharaoh was... They were experts in astrology. I mean, what they do now, I don't know what that really is, but Pharaoh, the Drashim...
No, what they do now is a joke. It's not...
Yeah.
Miss Cleo or whatever.
It's actually quite funny if you read the paper. Some of it's very funny.
No, because what they do... what they do is they write something as vague as possible, but still have like some sort of meaning.
It makes you feel good.
So anyone who reads the horoscopes in the newspaper, you feel like it applies to you, even though... Anyone who reads it would feel like it applies to them. Yeah. At least any normal person. But
what is so you're saying this Hazel is
bad for us?
Water?
What? No.
No, he's saying something that Betsim doesn't really have anything to do with.
I'm just giving an example of how true astrology something by people who really knew it.
Madim has something bad.
Yeah, something bad.
Kiddush dafka is not
right, because it's red. Red wine. Or red, red.
But red has to do with like blood and death
and
or whatever.
Mars is red. Mars is the red planet.
Mars is the red planet. Uh-huh. And Mars is, what's it called?
God of war.
Mars is sort of like it could sort of say it like this. That's like the patron malach, the patron spiritual force of Edom. Right, because Esav was red and Madim is red. Mm-hmm. The Ramban sort of says this in Parshas Acharemos, and like Rome, right? The Roman calendar starts from March, which March is Mars. So the Romans were very into Mars. They were into fighting and blood and Charba Chatichya. This Mamish has to do with this Parsha. Our Charba Chatichya. So that's like Esav. It's like, I don't know, spooky stuff. But the point is, we have these seven planets, and each one has rules for an hour, switching off, going, cycling through the seven planets, beginning from Maitzei Shabbos to the rest of the entire week. And we said that each day, whatever mazel rules over the first hour of the day, so you call that day, is related to that specific mazel. The Gemara in Shabbos has machlekes if mazel yom goyrim or mazel shah goyrim. Right, let's say Sunday, right? So Sunday, each of the 24 hours of Sunday has a different mazel. But we also say that since the 13th hour of Sunday, which is the first hour of the day of Sunday, is mazel chama, so chama is specifically connected to Sunday. So then the question is, okay, which one is like more important or which one has more influence? The mazel of the day or the mazel of the hour? That's a discussion that the Gemara discusses. What else do we have over here? Yeah. And then again, as the Radal says, that in other sources, like the Sefer Yetziro and the Zohar or whatever, when they talk about the seven, the seven planets, so they have a different Rosh HaTevis. It's called Shatzam Chanchal. And Rashi also, in Gemara and other places, when Rashi talks about this, he uses this Rosh HaTevis, Shatzam Chanchal, which is not the Rosh HaTevis used over here, which is Kalash Samchan. So the Radal explains that over here, we're starting from Maitzei Shabbos. Our Medrash is starting from Maitzei Shabbos. We start with Koichav, which is the first hour of Maitzei Shabbos, which is the first hour of the first day of creation. When other sources are talking about Shatzam Chanchal, it's really the same order, it's the same cycle. It's just that they're starting with Shabsai, which is the mazel of Wednesday night. Because Hashem created the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets on Wednesday. So that's why it starts from Wednesday, Shatzam Chanchal, and then it goes through the order. We're focusing on starting from Matzei Shabbos, they're focusing on starting from Wednesday, but it's the same cycle, it's the same order, right? Shin, Tzadik, Mem, right over here, if you go from Shabbosai, the next one, Shabbosai, Tzadik, Madem, it's the same order. Just since it's a cycle, you could start from a cycle is a circle. You could start from anywhere on the circle. Our Medrash starts from Maitzei Shabbos, and the Gemara and the Sefer Yetzirah and Zayar or whatever, they all start from Shabbosai, which is starting from Wednesday. But it's the same thing. Okay, those are the planets. Let's go weiter. Says the Medrash, "Kula misharsim l'shnei masar mazalis," and besides the planets, the seven koichos of the planets, there's also they also serve the sun and the moon and the stars. Also serve the 12 mazalis, what we call mazalis. Shein keneged shnei masar chodashim. The 12 mazalis, the constellations of the zodiac, correspond to the 12 months. This is chart 2. Which is on page 1, chart 2. The Elohein, and these are the 12 mazalas that we're talking about. Now, these aren't planets or stars, these are constellations, which are groups of stars that seem to be giving off certain forms or images. Right? These are them. Tle, Shar, Taimim. Tle is a sheep, which is the in Western astrology known as Aries. Shar, which is an ox, known as Taurus. Taimim, which are twins, which is known as Gemini. Sarton, which is, I'm not sure where exactly a Sarton is, but it means Cancer.
Is that a crab?
A crab, yeah, it's a crab, you're right.
That's what they have picture it as.
You're right. It's a crab, and it's Cancer. Arye, which is a lion, known as Leo. Bisula, which is Virgo, or Bisula, which is a virgin woman known as Virgo. Maznaim, which is a scale, which is known as Libra. Akrav, which is a scorpion, known as Scorpio. Keshes, which is a bow, known as Sagittarius. I don't know what the word Sagittarius means, but I guess it has to do with bow. Gdi, which is a goat, known as Capricorn. Dili, which is a bucket, known as Aquarius, because it has to do with like a bucket of water, right? And then Dagim, which is known as Pisces, which is fish. Right? Those are the 12 mazalas. And I made over here in chart 2, so the first column is the Hebrew name, and what how to spell it in Hebrew, and what exactly it literally means in Hebrew. The third column is its name in Western astrology. And the middle column is the month that it corresponds to according to our calendar. So this isn't exactly what we're talking about over here. We'll see in a moment. But Chazal, in certain Kabbalistic ways, we say that the first one, Aries, corresponds to Nisan, Taurus corresponds to Iyar, Gemini, Sivan, etc., etc., etc. Right? In a certain Kabbalistic way, that they correspond to the months of the lunar Jewish calendar. If you look on page 3, you have this nice scary picture staring at you.
What's scary about the picture?
I don't know, it just looks scary. So that picture is a fresco found, I believe, on the floor of a 6th century synagogue, meaning it was a shul that we used in the 500s, meaning in the time of the Amoraim, in Eretz Yisrael. It's called the Beis Alpha Shul, the Beis Alpha Synagogue, which is found in Eretz Yisrael by archaeologists near the Gilboa Mountains by Beit Shan. And it's a painting of the 12 mazalas that we just discussed, as well as in the corners you'll see that there's different, the tkufas, the 4 tkufas, which we'll talk about Be'ezer Hashem later tonight. That's...
In the middle, there are masks.
I don't know what the middle is.
They're sticking out their tongues at us.
I don't know exactly what the middle is supposed to be. The middle is also, there's a sun and the moon and the... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6...
Who's this guy in the middle here?
I don't know. Maybe it's supposed to be a rap. The question is this Avodah Zarah? Is this not Avodah Zarah? And how do these things work exactly?
If it's in a shul, then it shouldn't be Avodah Zarah.
You would hope, but you don't...
They find stuff that's Avodah Zarah in shul. I went to a shul once, and it was like, there was stuff that...
So you don't know, first of all...
stars on the things, and that's a...
So how was it
a shul? No, so...
Yes, sir.
No, first of all, you don't know if this shul was like Reform, Conservative, or Orthodox.
Right?
I'm not literally. I'm saying maybe they weren't what's considered mainstream Judaism. They were like some sort of, you know, weird sect or cult or whatever that was somewhat related to Judaism, but had like their own practices. That's first of all. Second of all, there were certain things that may have, you know, there were Tanoim and Amoraim that disagreed about exactly what's considered Avodah Zarah, what's not considered Avodah Zarah. So some, you know, you could make a picture of this, and maybe some people held that that's not considered Avodah Zarah. You know, you can make a picture of the sun and the moon, and maybe it's not considered Avodah Zarah, because, you know, maybe it has to be only if it's three-dimensional, maybe only if it's engraved, not embossed, whatever. It's not always so clear-cut.
Ask your... It's according to the local Orthodox rabbi.
Yeah.
Or Reform rabbi.
Yeah. Akaparis, we have these 12 mazalas, and the Medrash said that each one corresponds to a month in the Jewish calendar. We're also going to say that it corresponds to a month in the solar calendar. And that's going to be the focus of what the Medrash is going to say right now. Actually, before that, it says Ve'elu shenivru b'maisa bereishis linhoig es ha'olam v'chein chukehem. These were created by maisa bereishis, by the creation of the world, linhoig es ha'olam, to administer the world, v'chein chukehem, and this is their chayk. The Radal explains, and you have to say this, that when we talk about mazalas that have influence in the world, they don't actually have influence in the world, right? The word mazal, we shine them say the word mazel is related to the word noizel. What does noizel mean?
Dripping,
flowing. Why is a mazel related to the word flowing or dripping? Because what the mazalas are is really, they're just pipelines. The shafa that comes down to the world really comes directly from Hashem himself. And he pours them down into the world through different pipelines. And those pipelines are the mazalas. The mazalas don't do anything on their own. They're just the tool that Hashem uses in administering the world.
Funnels.
He's
got 12 funnels.
I always give the mashal. I like to give the mashal of the, you know, they have these like fancy these fancy kiddush cup things, right? Yeah, where you make kiddush on one cup, the ikkar cup in the middle, and then you pour it into like a hole, and then it like has little spouts or whatever, and it goes into all the little cups, right? So that's sort of like the middle is like Kibiyachal Hashem pouring a hashpah into this marechas, into this system of the mazalas, and then the little pipes are the mazalas, and then it goes and gets down into the little cups. We're the little cups, right? And it comes down to us, then we can drink it or whatever. That's how I that's how it's understood. V'chin chukeihen, the Radal says that chukeihen means it's a chayk. It's a statute. Hashem made a chayk. A chayk is something that's engraved, it's set in stone, and it can't be changed. Meaning the mazalas themselves aren't an entity that can change anything. Hashem set them, they do what they do, and they don't change. One of the underlying ideas of Avodah Zarah is that they think that if I worship this star, or I worship this zodiac constellation, then something different will happen in the world. Hashem will give me more, make me more rich, make me more this, more whatever. That's the idea of Avodah Zarah. They think that they can influence themselves or the world by worshipping the star, or doing a sacrifice for the star, praying to the star, or something like that. But we understand that even if you say that there is such a thing as astrology, that you could read the stars, or even that the stars may have influence in the world, but the influence is coming from Hashem, it's just going through the stars, or through the constellations, or the planets, or whatever. That's what Radal says. So it's an important point.
Vishila Shamash. No, we believe that Hashem does it through the mazalas, or the Avodah Zarah believes it through the mazalas.
No, we believe that Hashem does it through the mazalas, if we hold the mazalas. I mean, there are Rishonim that don't hold of it at all, the Rambam and the Ibn Ezra, but the mainstream Kabbalah or whatever understands that Hashem does do it through the mazalas in a certain way. That it's hard
for us not to believe, no? In the Torah says Pharaoh used to use them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's such a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you could answer, okay, according to them, yeah, the Goyim thought there was a thing, that's why Pharaoh used it.
The difference,
Pharaoh got it right.
The difference is, like, what's the object of your worship? What are you worshipping? Are you worshipping Hashem, or are you worshipping the mazal itself? We believe in mazalas, but we don't worship the mazal. We don't ask the mazal to do us a favor. We ask Hashem to do us a favor. Through the mazal, let's say, sometimes.
Well, the mazalas are just, it's a group of stars, not all of which might have been created at the same, well, they were all created at the same time, but not all that give the appearance of having been created at the same time, that just happened to form together a shape that ancients thought of, all right?
That's also true, but when we talk about mazalas, we're talking about more the spiritual forces behind those perceived shapes and the planets. We're not talking about the physical planet itself. Uh-huh. We're saying that, like, there's a special malach that's in charge of Mars, let's say, and therefore somebody will worship that malach. Right? That's called Avodah Zarah. That's the people who worship Mars. V'shiva shamashin elu nivru'u Nivru'u v'histiran birkiya ha-shamayim. Hashem created these seven shamashin, the seven planets, and He organized them in the sky of the heaven. The Radal says what it's talking about over here, something a little bit complicated, but he says that there's, the Rambam also talks about this, there's something called galgalim, which literally means, let's call it a wheel or a circle, and then, which I understand alludes to the fact that the seven planets that we talked about, they have their own orbit. They have their own, they're moving in their own way. As opposed, the Radal says, as opposed to the 12 mazalas, that we have the 7 and the 12. The 12, they're not moving. Or if they are moving, they're moving in one, what he calls a galgal. Right? Meaning, they can be moving like, you have like a bunch of mazalas, right? This is one mazal, one mazal, one mazal, one mazal, one mazal, and each of these things is moving at its own pace and its own orbit. Right? The 12 mazalas, either they're all on one orbit, and they're all moving together in one circle, or they're not even moving at all. That's what the Radal says. As opposed to the planets, each planet is moving in its own galgal. Whatever exactly all of this means, and whether this is talking about scientific terms or in Kabbalistic terms, is not exactly so clear. Says the Medrash, Kol ha-mazalos misharsim es yemei chodesh ha-chama. All the mazalos have rule have some sort of dominion over the days of the solar month. Now, let's talk about this for a second. There's no such thing as a solar month, right? Solar month is it's a made-up concept. When you talk about the sun, there can only be a year. A year is that when the sun is at exactly this spot at this time of the day, next year on this exact day of the year, the sun will be at the exact same spot at the exact same time of the day. That's a solar year. When you talk about the moon, there's no such thing as a year in the moon. Right? There's no astronomical difference for today and exactly a year from now in the moon. But in the moon, the moon's orbit around the Earth takes exactly a month. Let's say call it a Jewish month, right? So really, both of them, you either have to call both what we call a solar year is equivalent to like a month, if you look at it in terms of the moon, or a month in the moon is really the same thing as what we call a year by the sun. It's just different things. And the point is, what's a solar month? So basically, the idea of a solar month is you take however many days a solar year is, and you divide it into 12. Very simple. It's a very simple cheshbon, right? And that's how you get solar months. Okay, it doesn't. It basically divides. But let's see what the Medrash says. V'yimayis chodesh hachama, the days of a solar month are 30 days, 10 hours and a half. 10 and a half, 30 days and 10 and a half hours, right? 365 and a fourth is how many days there are in a solar year. 365 and a fourth divided into 12 will get you 30 days and 10 and a half hours. So that's that's the definition of a solar month. 30 days and 10 and a half hours. Yeah. So now we said we have 12 mazalas. We're going to try to put in these 12 mazalas into the solar month. How does that work? Says the Medrash. Kol mazal u'mazal, mishoris is yumeis chodesh hachama, shnei yamim u'mechza. Each of the 12 mazalas rules over the days of the solar month for 2.5 days. Right? Because like this, how much is a solar month? Let's say 30 days. Right? 30 days divided into 12 is exactly 2.5. So that's chart number 4. I made a mistake in chart number 4. I wrote that we're talking about Nisan/Iyar. That's not true. We're talking about, let's say, September/October. We're talking about a solar month, not a lunar month. Right? In chart 4. So each of the 12 mazalos rules over 2.5 days, right? Let's say day one is, let's say, tleh. And then day 3 is half tle, half shor. So that's 2.5 days. Etc, etc, etc. Each one goes 2.5 days, next mazel. 2.5 days, next mazel. That comes out to 30 days. Yeah? The only problem is that we said that a solar month is not 30 days. A solar month is 30 days and 10 and a half hours. So what do you do with the end of it? We just justified 30 complete days, but what about the last 10 and a half hours? So says the Medrash. Oh, sorry, I missed a few words. Shnei mazalos l'chamisha yamim. If each mazal rules for 2.5 days, so that means that in 5 days we have 2 mazal. 5 complete days we have 2 mazalos. That's just a different way of saying that each one is 2.5 days. So okay, so what do we do with the last? So that comes out to 30 days, right? 2.5 times 12 is 30, right? But what do you do with the last 10 and a half hours of the solar month before the beginning of the next solar month? Says the Medrash. Hasar hamaschil b'reish chedesh chama, hu hasar hamashlim b'sev chedesh chama. The sar, that ministering force which rules in the beginning of begins with the beginning of the solar month, is also going to complete the end of the solar month. So like in the example that I gave, let's say you started with Tle, right? So you're going to end the last 10 and a half hours of the solar month, which is already like technically on the first day of the next month, is going to be Tle again. you finish the whole cycle and start with Talat. And then after 10.5 hours, it immediately starts the second one.
What's it? 10.5 hours is not half a day, though. It doesn't work out perfectly. 12 hours is...
Yeah, okay, I'm saying be'erach half a day.
Okay.
Be'erach half a day.
I mean, it's... Okay.
No, all the other ones is half a day, because
it's... more complicated, though. No, because if it's... It's 2.5. Why does it have to be 10.5? Oh, huh? Because you went through all of them.
You went through all of them, and you came out to a complete 30.
Now you have 10.5.
Now you have 10.5 left. Right. And then, so the last 10.5 hours, it will go back to the first mazel of the month. And then after the 10.5 hours, it like jumps to the next mazel, which is the beginning of the next month. No.
Which will be Teleh. Oh, of the next month.
Of the next month. So it's going to be Shor.
You just did Teleh. That's what you wrote here in Nisan. ER, because... You started with Teleh, which is the month of, quote-unquote, Nisan, even though you wanted it to be.
That's called like April, May or something.
April, May, or no, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, April.
April, I guess.
May. No, April, May.
April, May.
March.
March is
March, April.
Well, it doesn't matter where it starts. It doesn't matter which month it starts with.
Right, that's true. It doesn't matter which one it starts with. No. Okay, that was complicated. And by the way, the Marzu says that this is a doichak, but doichak means it's a strained explanation. But this is what it seems to be saying. Hmm. Fine. Another.
And another question.
Yes, sir.
Why I thought we go after the? Why is this going after the month of the Chama and not the month of the Levana?
Okay. So I sort of said this, but I didn't make a point of it. In Kabbalah and in other sources or whatever, we talk about how the 12 mazalos correspond to the 12 lunar months.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, that is true on its own level. And in the chart that I had, what was it? Chart 2. We said in chart 2, we did mention the 12 months that it corresponds to. Fine, but that's not what our Medrash is talking about over here. Our Medrash is talking about the 12 months on a the 12 months of the solar calendar.
And eventually Nisan will get back to when it is the same time as solar year.
Right. I mean, that's what we talked about in Perek Ches, what the whole point of Seyda Ibor is, where you're trying to make sure that Nisan is always going to be in the spring. Like this. There's the Muslims and the Christians. The Christians only have a solar calendar, and the Muslims only have a lunar calendar. Right, there's problems with both of them, because the Muslim calendar comes out that they're always losing time,
right?
So like Ramadan, one of their holidays is always going to be, it's getting earlier and earlier. It's not fixed to a certain season of the year. Fine, the solar calendar also has a problem, because the solar calendar, the first day of any month is not necessarily the beginning of the lunar month. That doesn't mean that the moon started coming out on that day. Right? And the 15th is not the full moon. Right? So the solar calendar also it gets off every once in a while, and they had to like fix the solar calendar as well, because there's too many days. Whatever. The Christians have played around with the solar calendar throughout history, the Gregorian calendar and the Julian calendar, etc. So there's problems with both of them. What we try to do in the Jewish calendar is we take it and fix it by adding an extra month at a certain intervals, which we spoke about at great length in Perek Ches. Guach Adzat, which is Rosh HaTevis for how many, for the names, the numbers of the years of a 19-year cycle, which years we add an extra month in. That was Perek Ches that we discussed like 2 years ago or whatever.
This year's number one of the 19-year cycle.
Okay, could be.
How do you know?
I looked up a chart.
So that means that this year and next year are not going to be an Ibri Yar.
Right.
And the year after that will be.
Right, yeah.
Because that's the first one of the Ibri, of the cycle is the third year of the 19-year cycle. Well, here we're going to speak about a different cycle. We're going to talk about the 28-year cycle. You familiar with the 28-year cycle?
I was a few years ago when we all stood.
Yeah.
And that was in 2009 and Erev Pesach.
Okay.
Yeah.
Machzer Gadol Shel Chama. The great machzer, the great cycle of the sun, is Shmoina Ve'esrim Shana, 28 years. Why is that? So, without the Marzu, I would be completely lost. But the Marzu explains it very, very, very important, what the Marzu explains. Like this. What, first of all, what are we trying to do? So let's give the Nafkamina like what Rabbi Pomerantz was saying. We'll give the Nafkamina is going to be what we call Birkas Achama. There's a special bracha called Birkas Achama that you say whenever the Tkufas Nisan. Let's say it like this. There's the solar year is broken up into four seasons, right? There's Vivaldi's four seasons. And then there's the calendar's four seasons. Yeah, there's the summer, autumn, spring, winter. Right? And the four seasons are noted in the calendar by astronomical dates known as an equinox or a solstice. There's the summer, and the summer and the winter have a solstice, and the spring and the autumn or fall have an equinox. Right, so the spring equinox is known in rabbinic literature as Tkufas Nisan, spring equinox. When the spring equinox falls out, the moment of the spring equinox falls out on a Wednesday morning, which was the first time that the sun functioned by Briyas HaOlam, because Hashem created the world, He created the sun and the moon on a Wednesday, and the sun came up on Wednesday morning, right? Even though Pirkei Deblazer and Perek Zion says that the sun was created before the moon, I don't know exactly how that works, and they were created on the night of Wednesday, but let's calculate it from Wednesday morning, if the Tkufas Nisan comes out on a Wednesday morning, that mimics the creation of the world. So we make a special bracha of Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Ba'olam Eisa Ma'isa Bereishis, which is we're thanking Hashem for creating the world. Only when the spring equinox falls out on a Wednesday morning. Yeah? How often does the spring equinox fall out on a Wednesday morning?
So according to Jewish sources or according to Christian sources?
According to our sources. So there's a way to calculate it, and the way to calculate it is like this. A calendar year, a calendar solar year, is 365 1/4 days, according to Chazal. 365 1/4 days is the calendar year. Yeah. That means that whatever, let's say when Hashem created the world, it was on a Wednesday, the Tkufas Nisan. When is the next time it'll be on a Wednesday morning? How are we going to figure it out? So like this. It's very simple, right? 365 1/4 divided into weeks, right? Divide 365 1/4 days into weeks, you get what we know as 52 weeks, right? But it's not really 52 weeks because it doesn't divide evenly. It's a little bit more. It's 52 weeks. 1 day and a quarter, right? So it's 1 day, all, let's say 6 hours, which is a quarter of a day, right? 50. So every year, the Tkufas Nisan is going to be 1 day and a fourth days, 1.25 or 1 1/4 days later than it was the year before, right? So now how do we get to... the Tkufas Nisan being on a Wednesday in the morning? It'll take 28 years. That's what we're trying to say. It's going to take 28 years for Tkufas Nisan to be on it's going to really take 29 years for Tkufas Nisan to be on a Wednesday in the morning again.
So the brachas are always going to be made on
Wednesday. On a Wednesday morning at sunrise.
But the 20th or 21st of the month of
of March.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not.
At Equinox.
It's not?
It wasn't. I don't think. Can look it up.
I don't know. That's okay. You don't have to look it up.
Because it's always on the 21st of March.
Yeah.
20th or 21st and
or 22nd. One of those 3 days. 22nd.
Depending on if there's an extra day in February.
So theoretically.
Something. No.
It should show up on Wednesday.
I was born on that day, so I look it up. Many years it's on the 20th, and many years it's on the 21st.
Okay, so like, eventually...
It doesn't have to do with February? It doesn't have to do with extra day in February?
No.
So theoretically, it would be every 7-8 years, it would fall out on a Wednesday again.
Well, but that's true. Uh-huh. But, okay, yeah. let's ask you a question. What do you mean? Every 7 yeah. years, it's every 8th year, it's going to fall out on a Wednesday, right? That's true. But it's not going to be Wednesday morning, because it's shifting by a day and a fourth every year. So you have to wait for it to shift.
The equinox is when the sun passes, theoretically, if the sun moves or the earth moves, whatever, the sun passes over the equator. So therefore, they calculated what happens, and sometimes it happens on a Wednesday.
But maybe not Wednesday morning, is what he's saying. Maybe it's Wednesday late morning.
Or Wednesday
early
Wednesday.
Afternoon. Or then
right. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Because again, it's shifting by a day and a fourth.
Right.
So that fourth is 6 hours. So there's four possible times in the day that it could happen because it's going by 6 hours. It's either going to be in the morning, sunrise, or in the middle of the day, noon, or at the end of the day, sunset, or in the middle of the night, midnight. Right? Those are the four possible times of the day that it could happen.
But every 6 hours, yeah.
Right? So like this. Well, this is chart 5. Shows us the 28-year cycle. Right. It goes, the first day, the first time that Hashem created the sun was on Wednesday by sunrise. That was the first Tkufas Nisan. Right. The next year...
Well, by Erev Vayivoker, he created it.
Yeah.
Then there was night, says the Ramban, and then the sun came up during the day, but he created it, of course, well before.
Yeah.
Its light was hidden, something like that.
The next year, it's going to be... A day and a fourth later, meaning instead of Wednesday at sunrise, it's going to be Thursday at noon. The next year, it's going to be a day and a fourth later. Friday at sunset. The next year, it's going to be a day and a half later. Shabbos at midnight. Right? So when we cycle through a full day, sunrise, noon, sunset, midnight, that's called one small machzor.
Oh, yeah. I have that at home too.
Yeah, we all have it, but the point is that in 2009, Erev Pesach was April 8th, which was
well after
March 20th or 21st or 22nd.
I think it actually says on there which was the Yom of the equinox.
I don't know if it gives it. There's a lot of scientific stuff in the front which I don't have.
I don't know exactly how to understand all of these things. I'm just. Maybe it's not exactly the equinox. Maybe it's like some other astronomical calculation or something.
There's
two things. There's like an astronomical equinox, and then there's a astronomical equinox, and then there's like a average equinox or something.
How do you know it's on the April what?
Because
April
he
what?
Said it was April. He said
we. It was Erev Pesach.
It was Erev Pesach.
Oh.
So just look up when Erev Pesach was.
Yeah. April 8th, yeah.
Now, when it was in 1981, I don't remember, so I can't say. It just gives up Taurus.
The point is that every 4 years, you're gonna be cycling through a day, right? Because it's a day and a fourth, so every 4 years you're going through a day. And then in the fifth year, you're going to be adding an extra day, right? Because you're going from Shabbos midnight in year 4... to Monday sunrise, which is year 5.
Right, yeah.
Right, so that's called a machzor katan. Every 4 years is a machzor katan, which sort of completes the fourth. And then 7 cycles of the machzor, so every 7 years it'll change the day of the week. It'll what's it called? Every 7 years it'll go back to Wednesday. And then after every 4 years, it goes back to sunrise. So if you put it together, 4 times 7 is 28. So that's how you get a 28-year cycle.
It doesn't have to be on said on the equinox. It just the halacha is Erev Pesach, which is not the beginning of Tekufas Nisan. Erev Pesach Dafka is never the Tekufas beginning of Tekufas Nisan, because Tekufas Nisan begins earlier than Erev Pesach.
So what is it then?
So I'm just saying that's when we're talking the bracha to say, but it doesn't mean it's when it happens.
It's not always going to be Erev Pesach.
No, it wasn't Erev Pesach.
No, I'm saying Erev Pesach is never the beginning of Tekufas Nisan. It's in the middle of Nisan.
It's Tekufas not Nisan the beginning of Nisan. Chodesh Nisan.
Tekufas Nisan is a machlokas as to when it begins. Isn't that right? If you look in the calendars that we have, that always shows you the machlokas between two or three different individuals of when the Tekufas begin. And it's like weird things. And then it tells you the astronomical quote-unquote Tekufa, which is the actual scientific...
I don't know.
But Alpi Torah, there's like...
Some of the, I don't know exactly how it works. But the point is that to getting the sun, the Tekufas Nisan, to be on a Wednesday at sunrise, there goes through a 28-year cycle, and in the 29th year, it'll happen again. And that's chart 5. And that we'll read through the Cheshbon over here that this Medr says. V'shiva machzorim haktanim yesh bo, there's 7 small machzors made up of 4 years each. Me'arba arba shanim. Each one has 4 years in it. Cheshbon yemei sachama, the calculation of the days of the solar year is shleish ma'is shishim v'chamisha yomim, 365 days, u'revi'a yom, and a fourth of a day, which we explained already prior. Tkufois shnas hachamo. So it comes out that it's going to be a 28-year cycle. The Radal says a very interesting thing from a Kabbalah sefer, from Rav Yosef Chikatalia, in his sefer Ginas Egois. He says that there's 7 possible days of the week that the Tekufa could fall out on, right? Because it could fall on any day of the week. And it comes out that there's a 28-year cycle till it comes out to be exactly the right day of the week and the right time of the day, right? So the Rabbi Yosef Chikatalia says that this is alluded to in a very interesting mathematical anomaly, I guess, that if you take the numbers 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 plus 7, you get 28. So the 7 days of the week and this 28-year cycle is alluded to in the mathematics itself, which is an interesting idea. Fine, weiter. Tkufos shnas hachama. The tkufas, we said that there's 4 tkufas in the year, 4 seasons, right? So the tkufas shnas hachama, the solar seasons are arba mitishim ve'echad yoyim ve'sheva shoyis u'mechza. 4 tkufas, 4 seasons, made up of 91 days and 7.5 hours. Right? If you take 365 and a fourth, divided into 4, you get 91 days and 7.5 hours. So an astronomical season is 91 days, which is about 3 months. That's how much the 4 seasons are, basically, right? Berech 3 months. But Reish, the Radal also points out an interesting thing, that if you take the word malach, which is an angel, but it also means a messenger, a shliach, right? Malach, mem, lamed, aleph, chaf, so in Gematria it's 91. So that alludes to the fact that there's 91 days in each season. And if you take the word malach and you spell out each letter in the word, like mem is mem mem, lamed is lamed mem dalid, aleph is aleph lamed pe, etc., you get 365. The word malach spelled out in Gematria is 365. So the Radal says that this is an allusion to the fact that this whole system is angels, but they're also like messengers of Hashem. It's not that they have keich on their own, it's coming all from Hashem. This is another piece that the Radal brings from Rabbi Yosef Chikatalia in Ginas Egois.
The Baal Turin probably said something somewhere.
Yeah, it's that style. Okay. Reishe Machzores Shel Tkufa Dabaz Hagu. The first day of the Tkufas Nisan in each Machzor is Rosh Tevis Dabaz Hagu, meaning like looking back at chart 5, right? So let's say the first year of the first Machzer Katan, right? So Tkufas Nisan is going to be on Wednesday, yeah. In the first year of the second Machzer Katan, meaning the fifth year of the Machzer Gadol, it's going to be Monday, right? Then Shabbos, the words that I put in bold, following the bold in the chart, yeah. Wednesday, Monday, Shabbos, Thursday, Tuesday, Sunday, Friday, Wednesday, yeah.
Dalid.
So that's the Rosh Tevis. Dalid is Wednesday. Beis is Monday. Zion is Shabbos. Hey is Thursday. Gimel Tuesday. Aleph is Sunday. Vav is Friday. So those are the orders of the first year of each Machzer Katan. What day of the week is Tkufas Nisan going to fall out in that year? Between Machzer and Machzer, 5 yamim and 6 shayis. Between each Machzer is 5 days and 6 hours. Yeah. We already explained basically what that means because each day it's going off by a day and a fourth, right? So after 5 years, after a cycle of 4 years, it's gonna be 5 days. The word sheshois, the Radal says, is a mistake because a fourth plus one and a fourth plus one and a fourth, it comes out to 5. So when the Medrash says Vishay Shois, it's a mistake because it's complete 5 full hours, 5 full days, not 5 days and 6 hours. Okay, Bekitzer, that's what it is. Tkufos shel Machzer HaKatan arba b'kol shana. How many what's it called? Tkufos are there in a Machzer Katan? There's 4. V'chulan mitishem ve'echad yoyim v'sheva shois u'mechza. And each of the seasons in the years of the Machzer Katan is 91 days and 7.5 hours. Now the problem is that we already mentioned this. We already said that the seasons of every year is 91 days and 7.5 hours. So the Marzu says, I don't understand why we have to repeat it. But for some reason the Medrash is repeating it. Yesh mehen mitishim v'ushnayim. Some seasons have 92 days instead of 91 days and 7.5 hours. That's what the Medrash says. The Radal says you have to erase this line in the Medrash. I'm not holding enough to understand exactly what the discussion is, but that's what he says. Now the next line, this now we're mamish getting into area where I don't know what I'm talking about. Shana Rishana Shal Machzer Aleph Gimel, Shana Shnia Beis, Shana Shlishis Gimel Aleph, Shana Revias Dalet Dalet. This is some sort of allusion or some Rosh Tevis to something that has to do with calculating the years. The Radal says that there's some mistake over here and he can't figure out exactly what it is, and that the Gra wanted to fix it, but in his copy of what the Gra wrote, there was like some sort of mistake or something got messed up and he wasn't able to figure it out either. The Marzu has a whole long piece over here to try to explain what it means. I don't understand what he's talking about. And then the next line is like this: Arba Reshit Kufas, Arba Reshit Chadashim. There's 4 beginnings of the seasons, and they correspond, so to speak, to 4 Rosh Chodeshes. Shel Nisan Nichneses Tchilas Alayla, Chatzi Alayla, Tchilas Hayom, Chatzi Hayom. The Tkufas Nisan could come about beginning of the night, middle of the night, beginning of the day, or middle of the day, and then it goes on a few more lines. We're not going to read all of that, but it gives an example of exactly how it works out. And the same thing with Tkufas Tammuz could happen in any of those 4 times of the day. Tkufas Teves could happen in any of those 4, and Tkufas Tishrei could happen in those 4 times of the day. And basically, that's more or less what I got from this parak. I mean, not for the whole parak, but for this part of the parak. And then Be'ezer Hashem next week we'll continue from the next a few lines afterwards from Uvishleish Mi'ayis V'Shishim. Does anything I'm saying make any sense? I think I sort of understand it. I hope I did a good job of explaining it. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Hochstedt? Just a little. A little. Okay, so we're holding in the same place. We both understand a little. Mm-hmm.
Well, I understand less than you because you know you.
Because I think I understand it.
Certainly.
All right, so I guess we'll stop over here.